sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 132. The world is full of pain. Take one. I don't think you guys are ready for this poetry, but here we go. When I was a young boy, I had visions of fame, and they were wild and they were free. They were blessed with my name. And then I grew older and I saw what's to see, that the world is full of pain.
Message!
And my dreams, they left me. And then I got stronger and tired of the pain. That's when I picked up the pieces and regained my name. And I fought hard, y'all, to carve out my place. And right now, you could ask me, and it all seems in vain. My God. Your dreams ain't easy. Just stick by your plan. What? To go from boys to man, you must act like a man. Hard, y'all. Yo, I'd sing the fuck. I'd karaoke the fuck out of this song. All right. Hey, hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to, as always, welcome back you returning listeners. Ha, high five all around. And for you new listeners, just to give you a heads up, especially if you made the mistake, if you clicked this podcast by mistake, gotta give you a heads up that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Hoosier Blur's up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is December 6th, 2023. How cold is it outside? God damn! Minus 12, but in Ottawa, that's minus 12 is just like it's the teasy weather. Minus 12, whatever, man. And it probably feels like minus fuck. Oh, minus 16. Shout out to my man Wafik for that joke. For that, I just stole his punchline. Today's oh my God. Today's date is December 6th, and this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yo, I just had a moment. Oh, wait, before I continue. Yes. Right. For you new listeners, just to help you get situated. Bathroom's in the back. This is like when you're on the plane and I instruct you that in case of emergency, if this plane crashes, you are all shit out of fucking luck. Yeah. I just try to help you get situated. I'm going to work on these bridge words today. Check this out. I'm going to try these bridge words. A lot of new things are going to happen in this podcast. Well, new things for me. Okay. New listeners, check this out. On my podcast, every episode, I like to break it down into three parts. Tree parts. Tree trees. Tree part. Twazab. Tree parts. And the first one is the... Oh, sorry. Tree parts that I like to call acts. Like in a show. Okay? The first act is the introduction. Second one is news and random thoughts. And last one is final thoughts. Final thought, I'm considering calling it last word, but that's another discussion. So in introduction, I like to do shit like shoot the shit and talk about, you know what? Okay, like read off quotes or read off thoughts that I found on the internet. And this one had me thinking, just to get triggering some thoughts, right? And then this one I love, it's from Untamed Hero. Do I follow this person? No, I don't. Oh, my God. Well, follow now. And yes. And the thought goes, 9 things you are not responsible for. We the urban. First one is, you are not responsible for maintaining anyone else's happiness, especially at the expense of your own. We the urban. It is not your responsibility to shrink, revert to old ways, or water yourself down to keep a version of yourself you have outgrown alive to make others comfortable. Amen. It's time to grow. Damn. You are not responsible for negative reactions to your boundaries. Right on. It is not your responsibility to respond to everyone immediately at all times. Just because we can send someone communication anytime we want does not mean they are available. More times than not, it's nothing personal. People are overwhelmed and just trying to be okay. Yeah, so if you see that I got your message is on red and I haven't answered back, cut me some fucking slack. Sorry, gang. Suspected spam, ignore. All right. What's the next one? What number am I at? Okay. It is not your responsibility to just get over it because it has been a while. Grief is a wild ride, and healing has no deadline. Go at your own pace. Amazing. That's what's up. You are not responsible for living up to other people's made-up perception and expectation of you. It is not your responsibility to fix your parents' unhealed trauma. You are not responsible for weathering every storm alone because you don't want to bother anybody. Ask for help, love. You are not responsible for your trauma, but you are responsible for healing. For your healing. And that's the last one. Amen, man. Amen. Hold on a second. Let me, this one deserves a, Sorry, that was kind of loud, wasn't it? Yeah, man. Holy cow. Yeah, shout out to Untamed Hero. We the Urban. Sorry, Reader Urban is written on the actual text. So I'm assuming they're the author. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, another thing I like to do in the intro is, shoot the shit, right? Just a realization. There I go with the bridge word. First one is, I just realized that my podcast is my art. I think I'm going to update my profile, my Twitter profile, all my social media profile, and just get rid of that long-ass text and the about us on the webpage, on the website, shuttlepodcast.com, and just put in, my podcast is my art. Or maybe that might be my catchphrase, shuttlepodcast.com, my podcast is my art. Woo, let me think about it. All right, and last but not least, I am going to, miniature, oh my God, I hate when I misspell things. I'm going to try something. I got 8 minutes. Yeah. So I'm going to try something for news and random thought. You know what? Let's jump to news and random thoughts and I'll explain myself then. All right. Okay. So this concludes introduction, act 2. Ready? You motherfuckers ready? All right. Well, get off your seat and make some noise. And let's get on with the show. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah, what I wanted to say is I use a random thought. Usually I just freestyle. I have a shitload of topics. It's like, oh my God, hold on. I am going to impose a 20 minute time limit for news and random thoughts. That's starting now. Before I introduce the song, yeah. 20 minutes, because I got this notion. I was listening to, back in the day, I used to listen to Larry Wilmore's podcast, and I noticed that before he would have a guest, he would spend 20 minutes just shooting the shit, random conversation about all kinds of things. And I noticed he always kept it to 20 minutes. Now, I'm a person who likes to talk. See, I'm doing it now. All right, hold on a second. Yeah, I'm going to wait for this to turn to the 10. Okay, we're at the 10-minute mark. 20 minutes starts now. Okay. I like to talk, and I notice that when I'm talking, I forget how much time has passed. It's kind of like when I'm noticing a woman's cleavage, right? I could be like minding my own business, and as soon as I see them titties, those cleavage, I forget space and time, and when I look away, I'm like, holy shit, how long have I been looking? What I'm saying is, I guess it's blissful. I like to talk, and I forget how much time goes by. So I'm going to try something. I'm going to try to fit in these topics and see if I can make it in 20 minutes. All right? All right? You ready? Okay. Well, 20 minutes already started. Okay, let's do this. First one. Okay. I know I've been joking, but this is serious as fuck. I remember when I was preparing for the show and wrote down December 6th, and something in the back of my mind was tingling that I needed to remember something. And I'm like, is it a birthday? And instead, someone sent me a reminder. Actually, our union, sent a letter, and that went like this. It says, on this day, 34 years ago, a man walked into École Polytechnique and ended the lives of 14 women just because they were women. The shooter left a note that framed his heinous act of violence as a response to women who had gotten out of line. Oh, shit. Sorry, it's the first time I hear this sentence, this explanation. Each shot fired that day was intended as a warning shot to women everywhere. Most of us will never find ourselves in that sort of situation, but there are many women navigating gender terrorism a lot closer to home. Domestic violence or intimate partner violence, oh shit, is a pattern of behavior intended to establish and retain power and control over intimate partners in a relationship. Abuse is defined as physical, sexual, emotional, economic, psychological actions or threats against another individual in order to intimidate, terrorize, manipulate, injure, and humiliate another person. I share this because I'm thinking, I still remember being in class and my teacher, so I must have been in grade 9, or was it grade 8? I think I was in junior high. And my teacher, the news came in, and my teacher, I don't know, I think she was, my teacher who had way more life experience than me, there was something about the way she was telling us the news. Maybe it wasn't the way she was telling us the news. Maybe it was more the fact that I was like, niggas die every day, B, what the fuck? I don't mean to be funny, but I remember what I'm trying to say is I had no idea of the cruelty of this. Like, I had no idea. My brain wasn't able to properly grasp what I was being told. I was used to murders happening. And the fact that it was only women never really, you know what? Sometimes I had no idea what the word misogyny meant. Even if I may have heard the word, but the word as a concept, think about when you, hear a word and you have an image or you associate it to an idea. At that time, that word, there was no idea. There was no concept behind it. Like the idea of hatred for women at that time, to my mind, I feel like it might be the closest to a white person learning about racism for their first time. Because I grew up as a boy. Shit. Grade eight. This is shortly after coming to terms with the fact that, okay, girls don't have cooties. This is shortly after the time that I dropped the G.I. Joe. I still remember I used to play with toys and my dad was like, aren't you a little too grown? Not a grade nine, but I remember that transition from boy to boy who plays with toys to a boy who shouldn't be playing with toys. Boy who thinks girls are gross to boy who, why, what's going on with my body? You know, like just that transition into maturity and not understanding, like the word misogyny, the concept of misogyny didn't make sense to me or wasn't a thing. And I think that's what it is about that moment is how, as the teacher was explaining it to us, I'm not saying she was in tears. I don't know if she was shooken up, but I knew there was something about the way she was telling us this news. It was different than any acts of atrocity that I heard about. Fast forward to today. I understand. I remember when I finally understood why we had International Women's Day. And when I started commemorating it, and I was surrounded by dudes who were like, what the fuck, you just trying to get laid? I wrote this down. I'm like, I understand men or people who want to worship women. Like, I get it. I just couldn't explain it, well, to a misogynist. What I can say is, like, whether you worship women, whether you, like, just, whether you're one of those assholes who are like, yo, what the fuck? How come men don't have International Men's Day? We do, but that's another story. Who don't understand why women, you know what? I think I'm talking to men who don't understand misogyny or who don't understand why there's a word for hatred of women or how the fuck how we can be shitty people to women. And I guess if you don't understand it now, you'll never understand it. Sometimes I feel the need to try to explain to dumb people. Well, there goes my 20 minutes. Anyways, I'm going to conclude with this. Women deserve more than just to be that thing that we take our rage out. That thing that we can control. That thing we take advantage of the fact that the average man physically can overpower a woman. I think it says a lot about our society. It says a lot about society when how primitive a society is by the way they treat women. And you know what? I'm saying this while there's a part of me going, what the fuck, nigga? Try to get them bitch. You know, like I still got a bit of the cult of masculinity inside me. I still got some misogyny in me. I still have that. There's a part of me. There we go. There are two B-blacks. One B-black, there's me talking to you right now, and there's one inside of me going, what the fuck, nigga? Why are you saying this shit? Yeah, there's an immature me saying, what the fuck? Like, if I heard myself, I would be questioning my intention. And this is just a realization of, I'm at the age where I understand what my feminist friends have been trying to tell me. What my feminist friends couldn't get me to understand before. That's all it is. So yeah, 34 years ago, December 6th, 1989. And yeah, we remember. In the on the show notes, there's a link to the Wikipedia entry. If you didn't know, yeah, 1989, 34 years ago. Damn, fuck, a lot of time has gone by, and shit still hasn't changed. I guess, well, maybe I should take, maybe I should rejoice of the fact that 34 years. I should rejoice of the fact that I'm not the same person I was 34 years ago. I have a better higher level of consciousness, but. Anyways, speaking of atrocities, Palestine. Initially, I'm not going to read this article. I already read it, and goddamn, this motherfucker was boring. And it's Senator Bernie Sanders opposes unconditional military aid to Israel funding bill. Hey, B-Black, why are you talking about Americans? Because, A, it's my goddamn podcast. But, two, it's because I remember how... Initially reading a headline, well, two things. Initially reading a headline by about Bernie Sanders being like, fuck a ceasefire. Like I guess I didn't know Bernie Sanders was Jewish. Not that it mattered. It's not the fact that he was Jewish. It was more the fact that he was pro-Zionist. So he was pro, yeah, man, fuck them kids. Them kids are Jewish? Then yeah, I care. They Palestinian? Yeah, fuck that. Yeah, Hamas is using them as shields. Yeah, bomb them niggas. Fuck that. Yeah, I didn't know he was that kind of a person. So seeing this headline of Bernie Sanders being like, whoa. Okay, look, we gave these guys enough money already. It was enough to get my attention. And two, it's like, holy fuck, you're going to give them more money? Holy shit. Yeah. Anyways, Israel's got United States by the balls. But that's not what I came to talk about. It was more, the article was born. The one thing from this article that I did write down, the one quote that did have me thinking was, he repeatedly invoked what he sees as illegal actions taken by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, leader of the most right-wing Israeli government in history. And I like that I had to read that line because, okay, look, I don't know what's going on, but my timeline is filled with the atrocities committed in Palestine by Israel. It's filled with that. And, it's so bad. It's so bad. Okay, first I'm going to say that I do not deny the possibility or the reality that there's a group of people out there who aren't pro-Palestinian, who don't care about Palestinian children, but they do hate Jewish people as a whole. They don't give a fuck as far as they're concerned, man. Fuck them brown kids. But they are banking, they are taking advantage of this situation. And they're like, see, told you. You know what I mean? You kept calling me anti-Semitic, but look, you're now on my side. And so, like I said, my timeline is filled with the atrocities being committed, the carnage being committed by Israel. And there was a moment where I want to be clear, I don't agree, but I was starting to feel like that white guy who just got beat up by a black guy or who just got robbed by a black guy, who just got embarrassed by some black girl, basically had some shitty thing done to him, and really, 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 really wants to use the N-word. Just wants to, you're fucking niggers. I'm saying, I understand them. I understand it. I'm not saying I agree with them. I'm not saying that look, I'm thinking of all the times that I've been in a situation. There was a movie with, what the fuck, Dennis Quaid? Is that his name? I can't remember what the movie is. There was a movie with Dennis Quaid. And I think the character he played, his daughter got beaten up or got raped by a bunch of black guys, or he got beat up by a bunch of black guys. Basically, something shitty happened to them. And he goes to his black friend who, I'm not sure if he knew who those black people were. And he says, I need you to help me find those niggers who did this. And I remember looking at that scene, I'm like, oh, that's all it took for you to, holy shit, were you doing me a favor by not being racist? Anyways, I'm saying that as I'm watching these atrocities committed by Israel, feeling powerless, all I could think about is falling for the temptation that these white people who dropped the N-word. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying, hey, look, I'm this close from being anti-Semitic. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, as a person who's self-aware, as a person who can feel, who as a highly sensitive person who could watch, feel his emotions, and look at them and observe them, I can see how some people, the folks who don't think a lot, could use this as their moment to justify being anti-Semitic. And I bring up that line. I appreciate reading that line or that quote by Bernie Sanders when he says he repeatedly invoked what he sees as an illegal action taken by the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And what I'm saying is, look, every race, every religion, every culture, every country, any way you can split up human beings has their version of Benjamin Netanyahu. And I'm not saying they're making their people look bad. I'm saying I'm making the distinction between shitty people, basically isolating shitty people. It's unfortunate we live in a world that shitty people can be, we'll take one shitty person and lob them up into one. Like, I still remember 9/11 hijackers. All of a sudden, all Muslims are bad people. I still remember after 9/11 and a bunch of Muslims were going on TV. Of course, they're on TV, you know, denouncing, being forced to denounce. Radical Islam, and they kept saying, "Yeah, Islam is about peace." And I was like, "Bro, I ain't trying to hear that shit." Did you not see what happened to those towers? Let me get back. Yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu is their fucking 9/11 hijacker. He's their shitty person. He's their Columbus. He's their every human being that has done a disservice to humanity. That's who he is. And I love that I read it because it reminded me that, yo, remember, Israel is composed of people. I guess that's what it is. The temptation to dehumanize another human being. It's so easy. Yeah, the temptation to dehumanize a group of human beings when the truth is you just want to hold the people responsible accountable. In this particular case, it's Benjamin Netanyahu and his crew of white-wing assholes and the motherfuckers he managed to influence and be like, yeah, man, fuck them other niggas because I'll die for my niggas. I don't think he has I think he's all about fuck them other niggas. So, sorry, I'm quoting C-Murder. The rapper C-Murder, fuck the mother niggas because I die for my niggas. So all this to say, I might make a bit out of this, but, you know, feeling like the white guy who wants to use the N-word. All I know is if I fall for the temptation of anti-Semitism, of dehumanizing a whole group of people because of a small portion of a segment of their population, then I have to call all those white people who used the N-word out of sheer anger, holy fuck, including Michael Richards, and send him an apology. Then I might as well, my bad. I get it. Remember, I kicked your ass for using the N-word? Well, turns out I ain't shit either. Anyways, yeah. I'm saying this because I made the mistake of, sorry, I'm laughing at myself. There goes that 30 minutes. Oh, wait, no, I still got time. Oh, no, yeah, there's 2 minutes left. Yeah, I'm already at 20 minutes. All right, man, enjoy yourself. Part of the reason why I was trying to get to 20 minutes because I really want to get to final thought. Anyways, looks like I'm going to have to make that shit shorter. Okay, all right, so where was I? Yes, right before getting on this podcast, I made the mistake of going through my timeline. Again, cluttered with the atrocity. Not cluttered, but just filled with... Hey, I'm not forgetting this. No, fuck that. This is my never forget moment. Yeah, no, Netanyahu and his boys and all his affiliates, y'all not getting off easy. Now, what's fucked up is they're putting their people in the shitty situation. But that's another story. He did the real anti-Semites. Anyways, what I was trying to get at is I was just looking at, I was going through my timeline and I noticed a picture of this man pulling his child out of the rubbles, out of a bunch of rubble. A child, man, a fucking child. And I'm like, imagine, I want to live in a world where killing kids is, I remember, was it Sons of Anarchy? And Jack, what's his name again? I forget his name. Doesn't matter. The main character had to remind one of his associates, we don't kill kids. I mean, we fucked up. We sell drugs. We turn hoes into tricks, whatever. We pimp out these bitches and shit like that. We rob, but we don't kill kids. I like how in these anti-hero movies, is it anti-heroes? Basically, they take people doing bad things and make them into a hero. All of them are like, yeah, nah, nigga, I don't kill kids. Anyway. But, right, sorry. I'm all over the place. I was looking at that video of this man pulling his child, his dead child, out of the rubble. And honestly, man, that image is, it's not just the image. It's more, it's hard for me now to see children and not think about the children in Palestine. It's hard for me to see happy kids and not think about the child in. And here's what's fucked up. There's a lot of children like that. Congo, Sudan. I'm saying, yo, as I'm getting older, man, it's like I keep finding more reasons. I'm only able to find reasons to be bitter. And yeah, man, I thought I hated Christmas before. Now I'm like, yeah, nah, fuck that. Christmas, joy to the world, my ass. Yeah, man. Christmas is going to suck this year. It's going to suck more than it did before. I was thinking about how Christmas was usually that time of the year I like to. Yeah, Christmas sucks, but I'm a little happy that some kid is happy, is opening up their, like some parent is making their child happy. But not this year, man. It's going to be, I think I'm going to be more focused on dead kids. I won't be able to get it on my mind. I'm going to be thinking more about dead kids and or happy kids who are benefiting from this atrocity for in Palestine. Or all over the world. Damn, be lighting up. I don't know. Yeah, I'm saying. Anyways, Christmas is going to suck. The only hope we got is that it sucks so much that it affects the bottom lines of a lot of corporations out there. Like, they lose money. I read this tweet that said that Starbucks lost a lot of money because people are boycotting them for the support of Israel's atrocity. I hope that's true, because I thought it was just me boycotting Israel. Well, me and my homegirl, who told me about it. But anyway, whatever. Okay. 3 minutes over. Okay, let me rush through, man. I'm only two. I noticed that the first topics make me talk the most. And it's only after that I'm like, all right, time is a finite amount of time, and I'm not going to live forever. All right. Okay. Beyonce Renaissance tops box office. Okay, another boring ass article that I am not going to. Yeah, shout out to me for reading the article before reading it. Yeah, I'm not going to read it. It's boring as fuck. But the point is, but I am going to say congratulations to Beyonce, and bring up the fact that Beyonce stays impressing me. You know what's interesting about Beyonce is I talked about it the last episode. And how my barber was like making, it's not he made fun of me, but he reminded me of the fact of our oath as as toxic males that, you know, you don't go to a Beyonce movie unless your girlfriend forces you to go. But whatever. What gets me about Beyonce is this lady is filled with accomplishment. The kind of accomplishment that if she was a man, we'd be like, fuck, we'd bow down and give her respect. And yeah, no, the fact that she was successful in the with the, she's like, I don't know, she's breaking records, but she did well in box office. Is I applaud her for that. But like I said, Beyonce, the first time I bent the knee and acknowledged her, the fact that she was the queen of the seven kingdoms, like fuck Daenerys, her name's Beyonce, was when she crashed iTunes with an album she didn't even promote. Do you know how hard it is to crash? Whatever. Right? I remember the first time hearing that news and the nerd in me was like, yo, what the fuck? Bit the knee on that day. But someone on TikTok does a video that's been also showing up on my timeline. And it's the fact that Beyonce's been silent about Palestine. Apparently, the word is, she made sure, I think her movie's not released in Israel. Is that what I'm not sure. Whatever, right? But someone brought up the fact that she hasn't taken a stance on Palestine. And a part of me is like, man, leave the woman alone, man. It's like, yo, she's got a part of me is like that. But another one is like, yeah, what is the responsibility of an artist towards their fans? I don't know. I guess like some content creators have been expressing their disappointment. Even fans of hers have expressed their disappointment in her for that. But I'm like, I don't know. Am I in a position to do so? I'm trying to think. Okay, if this was Tupac, yeah, I'd expect Tupac to not be silent on this. I don't know. I have no thoughts. I have no thoughts on that one. But I'm just saying that. How I went from, yeah, Beyonce's amazing, to, oh, shit, Roach hasn't done it in Palestine? Word? Is she really playing both sides of the fence? Whatever. I don't know her story. I really don't know. I honestly, yeah, I can't speak on it. I don't know when it's my turn or my right to speak or criticize an artist. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. I don't know. Next item is Bernie Sanders. Let me just close my tabs and as I'm moving along. Okay, this time, okay, another article I'm not going to read, but again, it's going to be in the show notes. And it's Paul Mooney's son speaks out about their father's sexual abuse allegation and gay rumors. Dwayne and Daryl are coming to the comedian's defense. Yeah, now this article came out in September 11th, 2019. Now, again, not going to read the article. I am going to say that, okay, RIP. Paul Mooney. The only reason I bring up this article is because I am on a journey to try to get back into comedy. And I remember, what's his name again? I forget the comedian. This show I did, and this one comedian said, bro, you kind of sounded like Paul Mooney. Lebanese dude, whatever, right? And I had a bit of white guy, I've been like, yeah, all black people look alike. But because it came from him, because the kind of comedian he was, it felt like I was honored by that statement. Anyways, it's been stuck in the back of my mind, and it got to a point that I found myself buying his book, the audiobook called Black is the New White. And we're already off to a good start because he talks about how a conversation he had with Richard Pryor and how I think Richard Pryor was trying to do like clean comedy like Bill Cosby, and he had a moment where he was like, what I was feeling wasn't matching what I was saying. And reading that part had me thinking about why I think I stopped comedy. Because I felt like what I was feeling was not in line with what the fuck I was saying on that stage. White people were laughing and whatever. It just connected with me. The other thing, too, is I'm kind of hoping to read this book and it inspires me to be a ruthless, courageous, brave comedian like he was. Yeah, man. He let the white folks know what time it was. Yeah, man. I'm just, I kind of, that's what it is. I'm trying to find my voice as a comedian, and I'm hoping this book helps. All right. That was news. Okay, keep going. Okay. All right, two more items. One more. Okay, two more items. Let's go. One is, I'm going to make it real quick. It goes, I just noticed, this is a rant, how, so yesterday, before yesterday, Monday was December 4th, and I noticed that Jay-Z and Fran Hampton wasn't on my timeline on that day, but it did show up on the next day. Same for how today's December 6th, and there's nothing on my timeline about, there was nothing on my timeline about the Polytechnic massacre. And I'm bothered by that, man. It only shows up after, day after. Whatever. I don't know. Fuck my timeline. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Whatever. Luckily, shout out to the union for sending an email, sending a reminder that, yeah, today was December 6th. Granted, it was at the end of the day, but whatever. Maybe they just weren't trying to depress us. Who knows? Whatever. Who knows why people do what it is. But it is what it is. Okay. Now, this is, before I get to last thought, this is something I've been wanting to share. And it's the last, by the way, last topic. And it's a four minute TikTok video. It's a story that worth sharing. And I will give some feedback on it. So here we go. All right. Here we go.
Okay, quick story that has me literally shaking right now. So for context, I drive trucks and I stop at this Denny's to grab a coffee because I'm addicted to caffeine. I went in there to get my coffee to go and then I walked to the bathroom. But as I'm walking to the bathroom, it's this old guy sitting to the left with about 12 people that's celebrating his 89th birthday. I got a call from my dispatcher and he was like, yo, you can chill, no rush. They're not ready for the freight, so you can relax a little bit. Sat down, ordered some food. So now I'm sitting like across from the guy that's celebrating his birthday. Time goes by. I'm down there at the end of my meal and everybody that basically came to celebrate with him had left, so now it's just him and his wife. So as I get up to go wash my hands, I see him and I give him a smile. I'm like, happy birthday, young man, 89, that's a lot of memory to have. Here's the thing, I don't even know why I said that. He could have had Alzheimer's. I'm not even sure what I meant by that, like, but that's what I said.
Sorry, I realized I was talking while he was speaking, so I'm gonna replay that part. But all I was trying to say is that when he wished him happy birthday, I said that's exactly, I would have done the same thing. And also question, why the fuck did I do that for? It's, I don't know, human connection, whatever. But here we go. I'm going to replay it from here.
Here's the thing. I don't even know why I said that. And 89, that's a lot of memory to have. Here's the thing. I don't even know why I said that. He could have had Alzheimer's. I'm not even sure what I meant by that. Like, but that's what I said. And he said, well, thank you, young man. And he smiled and he kind of just stared at me and I just walked back there and washed my fucking hands. So I come back and his wife is gone. She's talking to some other lady that goes to the same church they do. And he sees me and says, come here, come here, come here. And I said, yes. And he said, there are way too many things that I wish I could forget. And I said, yeah, man, you make it to damn near 100 years old. I'm pretty sure you got a handful of regrets. And he looked at me with the most serious look ever and said, you have no idea. Well, now I'm curious. Do tell. He said, you know, I used to be a firefighter through the 60s and 70s. I said, that's what's up. That's a very commendable job. And he said, yeah, it should be. He said the 60s and 70s was a different time in every way possible. You know that, right? And I'm just like, yeah, no shit. He said, back in those times, I was a way different man. And who knew that we'd get to the point where we are in society today and I'd be feeling the way I'm feeling about the decisions that I made back in those times. So I'm like, man, if you don't fucking tell me, bro. So right before he took a very long pause, he looked at me and said, back in those times, it was very common for firefighters that looked like me to leave people that looked like you in burning houses and buildings and horrible situations just to say they couldn't get to us. He said more times than he'd like to admit, he would hear screaming black people and children in burning buildings and houses and apartments and stores and cars, and he would literally just pretend he didn't hear it. He said his last time doing it was when he made eye contact with the baby that he deliberately went into a building to save and deliberately didn't. And he said that was the last time he did it, and he quit that year. He said the nightmare still hasn't stopped. He still hasn't forgiven himself, and therapy helps, but it's still a living nightmare to have those memories. And I guess that shit just shocked me so much, because when it came to firefighters, I never thought of them like that. Like, when it came to, like, police officers, lawyers, and judges, and everybody else, we knew they didn't give a fuck, especially police officers. We knew they didn't give a fuck about
right,
us.
Right.
But I don't know why that didn't click to me that, no, it was everybody that hated us.
Word.
Everybody. Everybody had a hand in deliberately making our lives worse. But when I calmed down from being mad enough to want to pull the plug on his ass, I thought about it, and I was like, of course they did this. Of course they did this shit. Duh. Like, why was I even shocked? Like, of course. But it is something that I cannot think about for too long, because that visual of you fake going to save somebody and not saving them because of the color of their skin and the entire 911 understanding, because, oh yeah, you couldn't get Jamal. Oh well, just another one gone. Like, that shit, I don't know.
I was trying to think of the last time I've had those of course moment. And I think it was the last one was the recent, most recent one was someone on TikTok was explaining how they went to the dungeons. Fuck, this one breaks my heart. Went to the dungeons in, what do you call that? Dungeons of No Return, what were they called? Essentially, the castles where enslaved Africans were taken to before they were put on boats and shipped to the Americas. And someone was talking about how the speaker was explaining how there was a church at the top of the shit, and people were worshiping while human beings were suffering in those dungeons. And I'm like, because I grew up in, I figured out of all the places in the world for human beings to be like, hey, pastor, that sermon was deep. Why the fuck do we have people suffering in dungeons right there in the back? Wait, what the fuck is going on in those dungeons? Out of all the places, people should be like, yo, this slavery shit is wrong. You would think it would be in a fucking church. The idea of people worshiping. Anyway, that's it. What I'm saying is, I've had several of those, many more than one of those. Of course that would happen. Because I read a lot about, I've been used to read a lot, well, I'll continue to, about slavery. I had to stop because my fragile soul couldn't handle it. But there were many times where I like, of course that would happen. Of course a child, women, slave masters' wives killed their slave. Of course would take advantage took part in the dehumanizing. But that's not the only thing that strikes my mind is, I remember while he was telling that story, 2 minutes into, as he's explaining that story, my first thought was, fuck that white man. Especially when he was saying, I'm in therapy and it haunts me. He looked at a baby. And my first thought was, fuck him for letting go of that. Like, fuck you, man. Die with that guilt, you cracker. That was my first thought. It reminded me of a story, a question a friend asked. He said, he was, because I like to think, he said, you're about to get married, you cheat on your wife-to-be, and you marry her, and he said, before you get married, do you tell her, no, you cheat on your wife on your wedding day, or around your wedding day, and then 20 years, right, and then, you know, you kept it to her for 20 years, do you tell her? You know, do you tell her? And I was like, 20 years? I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, man. Truth is the truth. But, you know, because young soul, whatever. And again, I guess he introduced my mind to this new concept. He goes, yeah, but aren't you being selfish? Basically, the idea is it better to keep it to yourself? Let this poor woman have the illusion that she was in the, she was with a faithful man. Or, like, are you doing her a favor by admitting you were unfaithful to her? Or are you doing it for your, like, are you doing it for your own self? Because that guilt is eating you up. You fucked up. That guilt is eating you up. Combined with that fear, that possibility that one day she'll find out. Like, that's the pain you deserve. And what I'm saying is the idea of how you're doing yourself a favor by admitting your guilt and making the situation. Like, okay, there's no right or no right answers. But I remember in that moment feeling like the only reason that white man told this black man who he doesn't know about it was just to alleviate his guilt. But it's only after when he had, that black dude had a moment of course. I'm like, damn, young man, you just had one. No, I'm not dissing him. I'm saying, oh, you've never had one of those of course moments. And that's what it took? Then, I mean, I'm kind of hoping this white man is, like, being sincere. And it's like, yeah, no, this shit is eating me up. I didn't know any better. I think about the boy that I was 34 years ago who didn't know shit about misogyny. Luckily, I didn't do anything stupid like, oh, my damn, what the fuck? What's up, man? I'm a teacher. What the fuck, man? People die every day. What the fuck? Like, you know, made a, like, I was sensitive to the fact that she was trying to explain that this is what just happened. This crime is very serious. I didn't do what, yeah, it's, you know, everyone dies every day. Like, look, I'm not ready to actually tell you what thought my, I forget, how old was I 34 years ago? 14. 14-year-old self. Hey, good for me. I did the math in my head. My 14-year-old self. I am not, even though it was 34 years ago, I am still not comfortable telling you the thought process that went through my mind, but it's enough for me to be ashamed, Let's just say that 14-year-old me could have easily been talked to into joining incel. Luckily, that rage I had went towards white people and not towards women. Anyway, sorry. What I was trying to get at is, here's hoping that white man went to a growth and realized the, I'm like, holy shit, we sucked. And the fact that he shared it with a complete stranger, I don't know. You know, I can't speak on what that white man was thinking and or what he did. But I like the fact that this black dude, one, had an of course moment, and two, shared the story with the rest of us. But yeah, but it also has me thinking about, yeah, my friend's question about people alleviating their guilt. Anyways, a powerful story, man. I should mention, and I always talk about these content creators. I never mention their name because I put the link on the show notes, but in case, in the off chance that you don't go on my website, shutuppodcast.com, the content creator's name is Shamar Alayan? Alayan. Oh, that's a nice name. Shamar Alayan. S-H-A-M-A-R _ Alayan. Again, link to this video is in the show notes. I'm really hoping you check out the show notes. All right. Okay. Hey, what is it? Oh, my God. 52 went overtime by 40 minutes. So 10 minutes. All right. So my 20 minute became 40 minutes. All right. So I'll shut the fuck up before I go overtime. So this concludes. This ends News and Random Thought. Let's get the final thoughts and get the fuck out of here. All right. Here we go. I was trying to order some food in, and I'm debating on whether I'm getting Ethiopian food or soup. Yeah, let's go with Ethiopian food. I'm sorry, gang. Welcome to my life. Did I mention this is my art? Let's go with Ethiopian food. Let's go with Ethiopian food. Let's Blue Nile Ethiopian restaurant. I love these guys. I mean, fan of the vegetarian. Suck my dick. I ain't ordering vegetarian. How do you not remember what I ordered before? And beef combination platter. Oh, I ain't never seen this one before. Yero do what? This is drumstick. Okay. Why do I not? Oh, because I don't eat. Damn, I've never seen this one. Holy shit. Is this new? Okay, because I can't pronounce anything. Oh, there we go. Blue Nile combination platter. That's what I usually order. All right. There we go. Oh, you ordered this before. Blue Nile. Let me get some. Yes. Let me get the salad. Let me get the don't want a samosa. Beef samosa. Fuck yes. Add to the platter. And the thank you for, I appreciate your patience in this shit, man. Well, then again, it's not you being patient. I'm the one who's being like, this is my goddamn podcast. Okay, where's this nigga? Blue Nile combination platter. My man! All right, fuck yeah. Merry Christmas to you too. All right, okay. Do I want another? Yeah, I'm going to get another. I like giving these people my money. These people. I know the owner. Well, not personally. We're not homies or anything like that. But when we see each other, like if he saw me, he would give me the Norm Peterson treatment, even though he doesn't know my name. But he doesn't know my... That's it? Holy shit. God bless these guys. Okay. Samosa. Okay. All right. If you're in Ottawa, I recommend Blue Nile Ethiopian restaurant. They're my homies. House salad. Beef samosa. Blue vegetable. All right. Let's go. Go to check out. I love the fact that I'm ordering Uber. It's going to take 40 minutes. Don't want to need you. No thanks. All right. God, here's the hard part. And I'm going to have to tip this motherfucker because it's cold out there. I'm going to give him $2 extra to the restaurant. And then boom. Damn. Oh, usually Uber's like, hey, it's cold out there. You better tip these niggas. All right. Let me give him a... God damn it. See, fuck. Ah, today was payday, man. Yeah, let me give this... Man, fuck that, man. All right, okay. I'm sorry. How much time have I wasted on that? I'm a funny... Yo, shout out to you, the audience. You must really find something in me to be paying attention. Wait, place an order. Standard delivery. Looks good. Yeah, man. Looks good. Bang. All right. I wonder if Uber could tell that I'm recording a podcast right now. Boom. Done and done. No, I don't want any alcohol. No, I don't want any desserts. No, I don't want any convenience. Man, suck my dick. Seriously, man. I should buy stocks in this company. All right. Leave on my door. Next day. All right, okay. All right, where was I? Final thoughts. Okay. Oh, because final thoughts, I was going to say it should be short, but, you know, I like to talk, as you can see. Talking is like staring at cleavage. My favorite episodes is when I make my own self laugh. Okay. All right. Right. What's up with the title and the verse, the poetry that I just recited? Well, if you're into R&B, you recognize this song from Jason's lyrics, from the soundtrack by Jason Lyric and by the group called Black Men United. And if the song is You Will Know. Let me just get to the point. You Will Know. Dope ass song. And why I'm sharing it is because I was driving into therapy and this song came on. And when that line, when he says, if you notice while I was reciting, I took a long pause. Well, one is because I got lost in the as I was reading it. No, I don't know off the top of my head. But, yeah, I'm going to try it. I love that line, man. Okay, it goes, when I was young boy, I had a vision of fame. They were wild, they were free, they were blessed with my name. And when I grew older and I saw what's to see, that line hit me harder. I remember thinking, I saw what's to see, that the world is full of pain and my dreams, they left me. Yo, that section, I remember, yeah, fuck that, man. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but One of those verses has to be the title of my next episode. And two, again, driving into therapy. And what I love about this song is it reminded me of my own life, my own masculinity, my own life, my own upbringing and everything is how, yes, I did start as a young boy, visions of faith. I was optimistic about the future. What's that? There's a joke by Dion Cole. And he goes, remember when you were the future? Yes, I remember when we are the children, or I felt like I was the future. There's something about, okay, even though I was pessimistic about the future, but there was something about, I had so much hope for the future. Then life happened. Well, the thing is, I was warned this would happen. Shout out, you know, if there's any young people listening to this podcast, this probably might be for you, right? That optimism that you have will be challenged. If it's not, then I don't know what to tell you, but I guess I'm talking to the portion who it will be challenged or who haven't had it challenged. Like, I remember I was that guy who read quotes about God would never put more on you that you couldn't handle. Shit like that. Like, you know, all you got to do is work. Like, there was a time where I thought I was going to be a motivational speaker. That's what I'm saying. I was, you can believe in yourself. You can do it. It's like, you know, young me figured out that, or acted like he figured out life. Then life sucker punched me. I don't know. It didn't sucker punch me. Just hit me real hard. Wait, hold on a second. What's going on? Why am I updating my order? Why the fuck? Oh, shit. Okay. A few items need your attention. Tap each item. Okay. House Salad. This is sold out. Oh, fuck off. Oh, that's okay. 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 Update order. Okay. Remove. Update order. I really wanted that salad. Oh, I should have added another symbols. Sorry, guys. Amazing. Okay, you know, I'm laughing. Holy shit. I'm so easily distracted. It's amazing. I'm speaking to you, and a corner of my eye just noticed that there was a different screen on my phone, and it had nothing to do with, hey, do you want some alcohol? Do you want Uber to pick up some weed for you? You want Uber driver to pick up a few bitches? Yeah, Uber offers that service. Anyways, and it's amazing how the corner of my eyes noticed that my phone was looking different, and all right, I think I'm good. All this to tell me that I'm not going to get salad? All right, okay, cool. Oh, how's this still expensive? Man, I really wanted that salad. Their salad is really good. Anyway, all right, okay, where was I? Holy shit. Right, life. Sucker punch me. Not again. Oh, you're Joy Uber, sorry. skip, I ain't trying to talk to Uber. It's fucking expensive. Only reason I'm Ubering Uber is because I have an addiction. It's either that or sucking dick for crack. All right, okay, where was I? Right, life punched, just hit me. And that's the thing is, there's another quote about that, about how life hit you. And now there's some people who are assholes in the world who will be like, oh, you were just weak. Nah, fuck that. I think you haven't been challenged. It's like people who've had an addiction. Like there's this someone I follow on Twitter. This is user and he his pinned tweet is how he's been sober for a while. And like I honor that. Human beings who've caught me up. Basically something that would have never happened and they got knocked down. I'm not just talking about, to me, it's people who are able to get back up. I honor that. But I guess I would rather speak to people who are like, yeah, fuck that. I ain't getting back up. I'm sticking to that. Yes. Because I can relate to that shit. Yeah, fuck this. Life, yeah. Life hit me hard enough to be like, yeah, I'm not getting back up. Fuck you. because I can relate to that notion. I'm not going to speak, preach about, because I'm not the person to talk about getting back up. I'm not that person. I am talking about getting knocked down. I can preach about that shit, because I'm a big believer in preach what you know, preach what you practice. Yes, I can talk about getting knocked down and not wanting to get back up and finding comfort in being down. If you came for motivational shit, yeah, I'm not that person. But I can relate to getting knocked down and not wanting to get back up. So that's what I was trying to say is, I was a young boy, and they were wild, they were free, they were blessed with my name. And then I grew older, and I saw what's to see. So I got knocked down, and when I was there, I believe I still am. I mean, I'm slowly getting back up, but I'm still there. But yes, I remember being in that state where I was like, the world is full of pain, and my dreams, they left me. Being in that state of, oh, looks like I'm not going to be a DJ. Looks like I'm not going to be a strip artist. Looks like I'm not going to have a six pack. Looks like I'm not going to be happily married. Looks like I'm not going to be. There was a lot of like, not happily married, but life did not turn out the way, I won't say planned, I kind of hoped it would go. God, did you make plans? Did you? No, I wasn't one of those. Yeah, I can't explain it, but I remember being so hopeful about life, and now I'm, shit. Now I'm on a podcast. Talking about women deserve to be honored. You know what? What it is, these rap songs had me convinced that that what life was about was life ain't money, but bitches ain't money. I don't know. I think I thought that I was going to get these stock options. Like, shit was going to magically appear down my lap. Now, I'm not saying I didn't try things. I'm not saying that I didn't have plans or goals. But the accumulation of disappointment had me like, fuck that, man. The world is full of pain, and my dreams, they left me. The accumulation of several of course moments. The accumulation of, oh, shit. Yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to have that moment that usually heroes have. It's not going to have that moment where he goes, hey, we don't kill kids. It ain't going to be like that. Oh, did I mention, in addition to that video of the man pulling his kid out, his dead child out of the rubble, there was another video of these Israeli soldiers biking around, riding the bikes of the kids that they murdered, like spoils of war, whatever, right? Like, none of them are gonna be like, yo, what I did is fucked up. Who knows? Maybe they're gonna be like that old man in the future being like, yeah, fuck, I looked at the child. Maybe one of them is, one of those soldiers gonna have a moment celebrating their 89th birthday, and some Palestinian dude trucker's gonna be like, hey, man, enjoy your birthday. He's gonna be like, damn, man, if you knew who I was. It's like, that's the best we could hope for. Oh, man. Anyways, sorry. The realities of life hit me. All that shit I saw on TV was fiction. Fuck. Like, misogyny, the cruelty of this world. How, oh, my God. The world is full of pain and the dreams they left me. Now, what I love about this song is that there's another phase after this song. When it goes up, whatever, fuck it, man. I'm freestyling on this one, man. Now I'm just noticing the time, right? And I'm gonna speak until my Uber shows up. And the dreams they left me. And the next part of the song goes, and then I got stronger and tired of the pain. Now technically, this should be the title of. No, it's not there. It's. I'm not there yet. I think that's my next phase. When I was on the ground, the best thing, the only thing I was able to do was crawl into therapy. Get my way into therapy. Now, I won't go into how I managed to do that, but let's just say I managed to convince myself to go into therapy. I ended up with a young therapist who I'm still convinced is Wild and Free. sorry. It's not that she's an optimist. It's not, no, not that, not to say that, no, I'm not saying she's a rose-colored glasses type of person, but it is interesting that a lot of our therapy session is me being like, yeah, fuck this world. It's not that she's like, oh no, world is beautiful. It's more like, hey, let's challenge that idea. Let's challenge those notions. Let's challenge that idea. I mean, I'm high five. She's been good at it. She's been doing good. Okay. Another thought that I had while this song is playing, I'm again driving to therapy. This song is playing in the background. Had me thinking about my first day into therapy. How, holy shit, I'm that guy. That's where I'm at in my life. I'm at phase. World is full of pain, and my dreams, they left me. That's if this was a chapter in my life, if this song was a soundtrack in my life, if I were to use every verse to indicate the chapters of my life, I'd be at phase, the world is full of pain, and my dream, they left me. Okay, let me make this bigger, because I keep trying to find... Yeah, sorry. if I'm oh, and then I grew older. And okay. Oh my God, let me make this. I'm gonna bold this because I keep, as I'm trying to talk to you, I keep missing it. Okay, what's going on? Bold this nigga. All right, there we go. And then I grew older and I saw what's to see, that the world is full of pain and my dream, they left me. All right. So again, crawled into therapy and a lot of my discussion, I'm realized, again, driving to therapy, music playing in the background, and I'm realized that I'm at one state, but I'm trying to get into, and then I got stronger and tired of the pain. See, another thought I had in, actually it was a revelation, a discussion that I had, I was telling my therapist, is like, yo, this is my third therapy session, and I'm feeling good. Kind of feeling good. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm feeling good, but I'm still not convinced that I'm in a better state. I'm feeling good, right? Maybe I'm smiling more. I had a friend saying, "Oh shit, you seem to be better," or "You seem to be." I'm gonna paraphrase, but pretty much saying, "Yeah, this therapy shit is working out for you." And yeah, third. Three therapy session in a row, and I'm like, you know what? I don't think I need to come back. But the thing is, I'm acknowledging that on paper, if I wrote this down, I'm in a better state. But mentally, I'm like, yeah, I'm not feeling like it. Even though if I were to like, yeah, put out the numbers, you're in a better state than you are. Come on, man. This is your third therapy session, and you're not like, trying to be like, yeah, you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Yeah, you're not, you're less talking about how the world is full of, actually, I'm still talking about how the world is full of pain. But I'm less talking about the dreams that left me, that the dreams that this world has left me with. But I'm slowly getting into getting stronger and tired of the pain. Then I picked up the pieces and regained my name. I guess that's when I get back on that path into, yes, I'm going to make something out of myself. Right now I'm like, nah, fuck the world. Burn the world. All right, okay. Let me try to wrap this up. What I'm trying to say is, it's just an interesting circumstances, series of circumstances. Song playing, me driving to therapy, and remembering how I felt the first time I went into therapy. Yes, the last point I was trying to make is another topic of conversation, and this is where podcast is my art. This is like, I talk about, I'm trying to create a community, and I'm kind of hoping the people I'm helping are people like me. Men. Not just men, but adults. Let's go with it. Yeah, but adults who are like at the phase of what the fuck is the point? All they can see is I'm an older person. Younger me was like, yes, the sky's the limit. Now I feel like, yeah, it's all downhill. Like I'm at the age where it just feels like it's just downhill from this point. Whether that's true or not is irrelevant. It's more, that's my mind state right now. I'm not as getting strong. I'm not thinking about getting stronger. I'm not thinking about, as far as I'm concerned, I'm never getting tired of this pain. This shit is permanent. I remember telling that to a friend. Shout out to, I'm not going to say his name, but talking about a friend. And when he heard that, he was like, nah, man. It's like he's tempted to feel that, but he's like, he's escaping that. See, the thing with life is your choice is to get bitter or better. And he wants to continue to get better. And I'm realizing that I'm tempted to fall down the trap of just getting bitter. Again, I'm not speaking to people who are getting back up. I'm not speaking to people who are like celebrating sobriety. I'm talking to the people who are like, fuck, thinking about getting back up while being on the ground. That's who I could connect with. That's who I could relate to. That's who I could say, yeah, I know what the fuck I'm talking about. I feel confident speaking about that shit. Just being down there. It's like, yeah, sure, you're depressed. But it's more like, it's like you're at that phase of, for the first sec, you know, maybe you're in bed and the thought of getting out of bed is slowly starting to feel like a reality. That's what I could speak. That's what I could talk about. That's what my art is about. Anyways, rest of the song goes, I feel like this shit is like a prediction. Like this is forecast. Like, man, shout out to Black Man United. I feel like this is like the conversation I would want to have with an older sibling explaining life. And then how, yes. And then I got stronger, tired of the pain. And then when I picked up the pieces and regained my name, and I fought hard, y'all, to cover up my place. And right now you could ask me, it all seems in vain. I feel when you're like, it all seems in vain, it's like, I don't know. That's my interpretation. It's like, oh, maybe I should read up the lyrics. You know what? Okay. First, I got to say shout out to D'Angelo. Instead of talking about my interpretation, I'm going to say shout out to D'Angelo. Yeah, Mr. Brown Sugar guy. He wrote these lyrics. Man, these are the, oh my God. I love deep lyrics. I love, like, this shit is art to me. Anyways, again, I would sing the fuck out of this song at karaoke. Hey, what about the next verse? Doesn't matter. I'm sticking to the first verse. That's all I could speak. Because I just had a moment of connection with that song. All right, man. I'm speaking longer than I should. I initially said, hold on. Where's my... Not that it matters. Holy shit. Uber's on the way. All right, okay. powerful song, man. Oh, shout out to Gerald Levert, who's singing the chorus. R.I.P. Of course, I used to be a huge fan. I'm still am a huge fan of Gerald Levert. But I'm mad at him and R&B artists like. Oh my God, yes, I'm mad. A little mad at him because everything they said about love didn't turn out that way, man. Fuck y'all. Sorry, I'm mad at R&B artists in Hollywood for misrepresenting how love works. Sure, I should blame myself for I'm the one who interpreted it wrong. Maybe I'm the one who was too young to listen to these people and have them guide me. But fuck it. Nah, man, I'm sticking with blaming them. Anyways, all right, okay. Again, in the show notes, check out the show notes. I put a link to the song. There's a live version. Which one did I put? No, I put the... Did I put the live version? Or no, I put the regular version. But you should check out Black Men United, the live version of it. And a lot of great artists is on that song. But I might talk shit about R&B, but I am not talking shit about this particular song. Fuck. Seriously, man. If I ever get invited to a karaoke party... If you ever invite me to a karaoke party and you find me like... flipping through the page, trying to figure out, say, be black. Quit fucking around. You know you want to sing Black Men United. What's that? You're not tipsy enough? Keep drinking. You are not leaving this place till you sing this song with the rest of us. All right, okay. Hey, this could, oh, before I forget, yes, in the show notes, there's an extra section called Other Links. There's an article I didn't read. Usually everything I put in there is something I didn't read, but I meant to get to. I'll read later. The one article I haven't read is Lenny Kravitz sets the record straight on comments about black media. Yeah, I was seeing in my timeline how a lot of talk about Lenny Kravitz and how he, you know what, let me read the article and maybe I'll be able to speak more intelligently about it on the next episode. Shout out to Michael Harrier for linking that. Oh my God, I just remember I have his book on my, in my Audible library and I still haven't gotten to it. Anyway, whatever, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, well, check out the links that I have in the other links. The last two are meant to be funny. I hope it, like, you know, puts a smile on your face. If not, find something that puts a smile on your face. But with that said, this concludes today's episode. December 6th. Je me souviens, on se souvient. Yeah, this concludes today's episode. Holler at me. If you want the feedback type, you can holler at me on these Twitter streets. My handle is at bblizzat or at shutuppodcast. On TikTok is b.black. Instagram and threads, yes, that still exists. It's at shutuppodcast. But if you really want to find me, the real place to find me on these internet streets is shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time for that person who forgot to turn on their hearing aid. I said shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website. What's that? shutuppodcast.com. And or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcast. Yo, thank you for listening. And remember, as always, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right? Peace.
I am your king now!